1390 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The presidential campaign this weekend now focusing on Nevada. Vice President Harris campaigning there ahead of next month's voting, and former President Trump is also there, flying to the Silver State right after a jury ordered him to pay a massive $83 million penalty in a defamation case brought by writer E. Jean Carroll. Trump promises to appeal, but says ABC legal contributor Kim Wheely.
I think this is going to stick. The big question, as we saw with the Rudy Giuliani verdict, frankly, is whether Donald Trump is going to pay up easily or whether Ms. Carroll is going to have to initiate additional proceedings to get him to actually pay up on the verdict.
WWE founder Vince McMahon has resigned from sports entertainment company TKO Group effective immediately amid sexual misconduct allegations against him. McMahon has denied any wrongdoing. The city of Wichita, Kansas, is offering a $5,000 reward for information leading to the recovery of a bronze statue of baseball great Jackie Robinson that went missing this week. This is ABC News. The UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees terminated a number of its staffers in Gaza suspected of taking part in the October 7th attack by Hamas and other militants on southern Israel. Some good news from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention regarding respiratory illnesses. The agency says both flu and COVID hospitalizations, as well as doctor visits, have decreased over the last few weeks. The CDC estimates there have been at least 18 million illnesses, 210,000 hospitalizations, and 13,000 deaths from flu so far this season. Oklahoma City could soon be home to the country's tallest building. The boardwalk at Bricktown Complex, if approved for construction, would be a 1,907-foot skyscraper surpassing New York City's One World Trade Center. Developer Scott Madison.
We just felt the area is going to be growing, attracting more employers. More people want to live, work, and enjoy the entertainment district.
Madison says it's more cost-effective to build one super tall than two shorter ones. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
I love Jennifer Beals, and it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight a guy who kissed her, Peter Moore.
I wish I could say she was madly in love with me, but we starred in the High School Musical.
You and I kissed during a play once, Pete, and I will say I didn't really feel a connection.
That was also in The Boyfriend, but that was a different version of The Boyfriend.
That was The Boyfriends.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 8 till 10 on Eagle 1490 AM WLCX and on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. More Americans are earning college degrees and making more money. But as Mike Mohn reports, some groups are not doing as well as others.
The Georgetown University Center on Education and the Workforce says between 2010 and 2020, the proportion of U.S. residents with degrees increased by nearly 7 percentage points, leading to $14 trillion in additional net earnings over workers' lifetimes. However, Center Director Tony Carnevale says even though all racial groups saw positive movement, there was no substantial change in narrowing gaps.
What we have here is a race in which everybody is running faster, but no group is really changing their position in the race.
He says that undermines efforts to establish racial and economic justice. According to state-level data within the report, Wisconsin mirrored national progress with a 7 percentage point increase in degree attainment. The racial gap narrowed for Latino adults but widened for Black adults. If the U.S. wants to get serious about eliminating these disparities, Carnevale says it starts with creating an even playing field in early childhood education and K-12 schools.
Getting from childhood to a good job in the United States is a long walk, and you have to focus every step of the way, because the way the American system works is that people from less advantaged families begin to lose ground in the early grades.
Report authors say if all racial and ethnic groups had the same college degree attainment as white adults, the nation's workers would see an additional $11 trillion in lifetime earnings. The summary included data for associate, bachelor's, and graduate degrees. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Support for this reporting was provided by Lumina Foundation.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Some fog today, otherwise clouds and 38. Mostly cloudy tonight, lows around 30. Upper 30s for Sunday under partly sunny skies, and we'll be near 40 degrees on your Monday with lots of sunshine. For Tuesday, clouds and a high near 38 degrees.
Right now, 35.
News talk for Homan, on Alaska, and of course, La Crosse. Eagle 1490 WLCX, the talk of La Crosse.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, Henny Cup, baby.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Kadigi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Historical Society Press.
Right on. Hey, where are we? I always like asking you questions like, what time of month is this and where are we? Where are we right now?
Well, today we are here live at All My Relations Arts Gallery, 1414 East Franklin Avenue here in Minneapolis along the American Indian Cultural Corridor.
So you set all the equipment up here and now you're like hosting the show. You're doing everything now. Next, you'll be running the store here because there'll be books for sale. And why are we here?
Well, we're here for the book reading and the book release of Kathy Coates' new published book, To Banish Forever, A Secret Society, The Ho-Chunk and Ethnic Cleansing in Minnesota.
Yeah, and we're excited. We have her here, too, and I think it was fun to get this going and live here and tell everyone to come on out and check out the reading. And we have Kathy again. We made Kathy come on again.
We did. Yeah. She is here live in the flesh today.
How's it going, Kathy?
Good. How are you?
Here, get that mic close to you. You can even hold it if you want like this, like a rock star, if you're singing karaoke. Let's see how that works.
Good idea. All right. Sounds good. Is that better?
Oh, that's much better.
Sounds good.
Jeez. All right. Hey, so we didn't need those mic stands that I got, Haley.
I guess not. Sometimes you think you need it, and then maybe less is better. But.
Oh, no. More is better when it comes to live shoots. But, you know, Kathy, we're really excited. We already have a citizen of Ho-Chunk here with us today and an elder, and she's excited to be here. And, well, she's waving and shaking her hand. You guys see Rosetta in the back. I won't use your last name so people won't sue you, Rosetta Hunt. But good to see you. And we got chairs up here, and we're ready to rock and roll. Amy's going to be coming off the airplane soon. Are you excited? You don't look nervous. You sound pretty good.
Oh, I was probably nervous until I was on TV last weekend, and I've been on this show a couple times now, and looks like Amy's coming in right now.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. Yeah. Well, that's good play-by-play on that, and we'll get her probably after the next commercial, but hey, we're really excited to have you on, and we are excited
for people to come here, and I think there's going to be a lot more people than chairs, so get here early. There'll be food at 5:30, and we're going to be going, Haley, we're going to be going not live at 5:30. We're going to have our president of Ho-Chunk Nation, who used to do a lot of spots for us of history of Ho-Chunk and Native Roots Radio, and you picked one out.
I did, yeah. So John Greendeer is going to be joining us for segment three today.
He just doesn't know it.
He doesn't know it. This is an encore segment from John, and we appreciate it. John talks a lot about Ho-Chunk history in this segment, and then also speaks quite a bit of Ho-Chunk, which I always love to hear.
Definitely. So. Yeah, and with my other job, as you guys know, I don't really talk about my other job, but it's always good to hear our president open up our legislative meeting with a good prayer and with the Ho-Chunk language. And so are you excited?
Yeah, I'm real excited. The book came out yesterday. I'm ready to make some sales
and do a
reading and get it out in more people's hands.
Exactly. And I'm excited. Rosetta, give me a thumbs up. Are you excited? Yep. You don't have, well, you're going to have to grab that mic if you want to say anything, Rosetta. Oh, she doesn't want to say anything.
Well, introduce our Ho-Chunk name, since it's a Ho-Chunk show today.
Oh, yeah. My name is Wakunjahade, which means distant thunder.
Yes, and I'm Chashepeyongewe Nink, which means little eagle princess.
Oh, little eagle princess. Do you get an adult name, or are you always going to be little eagle? How does that go, Rosetta?
Yeah, I don't know, Rosetta.
Does she keep that forever?
I keep that forever. I kind of like my name.
I do, too. Yeah. I'm just giving you a hard time.
We're Eagle Clan, so I like the Chashep in there, too.
Absolutely. Yep. Well, I don't know how I got Thunder in mine, my name, because I'm not in the Thunder Clan, but I like my name.
Well, my brother, Ryan.
Oh, that's right.
His name is similar to yours. I know it's his is King of Thunder, Wakanja Hook Wakanja.
Yeah. So. And Dandy, who's in the book, is... do you know how to pronounce his name? I don't have it open right now, but it is a Thunder. I'll look real quick, but I was going, that was cool.
Yeah. Well, I know great grandma's name too. I just found this out, is a Blue Sky Woman. And I'm thinking,
Roaring Thunder.
Roaring Thunder.
Okay. But yeah, Blue Sky Woman. I'm trying to,
Walking, Jari is, Dandy's, and Dandy is a character in the Ho-Chunk history because of all those times that he was being removed from Wisconsin, and then 2 weeks later he was back, and you told that great story about him pretending to be sick, and everyone was like, "Oh, he's sick," and then he bolted for the door out of the fort. And ran past
such a rebel.
And the reason why he was named Dandy is because the way he dressed really well.
Oh, wore fanciful dress, they said.
Lots of colors and stuff.
Yes, lots of colors.
Yeah. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Well, cool. Did we just run out of things to say?
No, what? I'm just excited to hear from the book. I know we got a minute left until we got to take a break here, but I'm excited to hear more about the book. And crazy, I had some wild dreams last night after talking to you, Kathy, on the show yesterday. I think we need to get down to Mankato and do some bare feet walking. And
well, not only that, we need to get our protest signs out.
Kathy's
not saying anything, but she's shaking her head yes, so I'll just say
Kathy will be
we
there
need
with
to
us.
Get to Mankato, definitely.
Exactly. Well, hey, we're here at All My Relations Art Gallery here on Franklin Avenue. And come on down. We're going to have the reading real soon. There's going to be food delivered here at 6 o'clock or 5:30.
Yeah, from Powwow Grounds.
Yeah, and I'm excited. I've been eating all day, so that'll fit right into my criteria. But I'm glad to be here, glad Kathy's here, glad Rosetta's here, and always glad that Haley's here. As you guys witnessed, Haley put everything together, so we got to give her a big shout-out.
Pina Gigi, thank you.
Yes. All right, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. but with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pini Gigi, and thank you for your support.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
We all have someone we love, like the favorite lyric in our favorite song. You can't imagine life without them. Cancer screening tests can help keep the person you love around longer by detecting changes before cancer develops, or catch it early when it may be easier to treat. And many tests are available for free or covered by insurance. It's time to sound like a broken record. Tell all your friends and family, I love you. Get screened. Visit cancer.org/get screened to learn more.
Matt Nair on air.
I heard that new promo featuring Earl and Sandy Williams talking about being influencers. Now I cannot get the vision out of my head of those two doing TikToks.
I think we should do a series of videos of Calvin teaching them how to be influencers, like teaching them how to dance.
I'm not going to say I don't dance, but I'm not a good dancer, so I don't know.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on Eagle 1490 AM WLCX and the Civic Media app. Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Leonard Pelt here. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by All My Relations Arts Gallery on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis.
Hey, this ain't no party. This ain't no disco. This ain't no powwow. This is a book reading tonight. And one of the stars of the show has just joined us here. And Amy, do you mind grabbing that mic like it's karaoke and we're going to be singing with you? Because there you go. Hey, there welcome. We go. So good Thank to you. See you.
Thank you. I just arrived from Santa Cruz, California.
Right
wow,
on.
Welcome.
Right on. And
thank you.
You know, Kathy, the author here, was on TPT. You saw that. And she got some time to spend with her. And she's just had nothing but great things to say about you. And I want to say a big peeny geegee, because a lot of this correct stuff that Kathy's doing is because of you, and you're vetting out the book, and so that's really important, and it's important for me so we can really promote the book in a good way.
Pinigiki, it's a wonderful book. I was reading it closely again over the last couple of days, and I just can't wait to talk about it. It's been a long time coming. I mean, yeah. In terms of us exploring and thinking through Ho-Chunk history in Minnesota. And I've been thinking, you know, as I was driving over here, why has it taken us so long to have a book-length study like
right.
this?
Yeah.
So we're incredibly indebted to Kathy for her brilliant scholarship.
Yeah.
And there have been so many conversations, right, around the cities in the state of Minnesota. Oh, Ho-Chunk have a connection to Minnesota, too.
Yeah.
But it was always left in a kind of general way. Mm-hmm. And Kathy here is helping us move forward with some really important specifics on our history in Minnesota.
You know, and I really like what you had to say. And I think at one of our area meetings, one of the things that really hit me that you said when you joined us from California was that Kathy's a researcher. This is real research. This is not an opinion book. This is done on research. And that's what excites me too, because I have my opinion as a Ho-Chunk, but I haven't done the research.
Mm-hmm. It's really well researched, and I'm a historian. Mm-hmm. And what I was really struck by as I was reading it again closely, because I read it in manuscript format before it was published, but to have the hard copy was really exciting. And I was just struck by its readability. I mean, I was seeing it as, you know, in classrooms, right? Mm-hmm. As part of book of the month club type of things. I mean, it's a highly readable book. So it's just got a wonderful balance, as I said, of rigorous historical research, mm-hmm. but yet highly, highly engaging and readable.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're going to have the I want to say ceremony, but we're going to have the book reading and you speaking. And maybe Bill Quackenbush is going to be down here, and we can have him. Oh, I just saw Bill. Oh, that's excellent. So we want to get Bill on, and I'll be kind of the master of ceremonies of that, because I just really, for me, I want to thank you, thank Bill, thank Kathy for this and for the opportunity to, you know, work on this in Minnesota too, because I've always said people under 40 years old really don't realize and recognize Ho-Chunks here in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. It just, erasure is what we were talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think.
Oh, did you want to say something, Kath? Oh, okay. We just made your mic hot. Go ahead.
Thanks to Amy for her kind words, and thank you to all three of you, you and Bill and Amy, for helping me when it was in manuscript form, and for being here today. It means the world to me. So.
Oh, well. It means a lot to us.
Yes, it definitely means a lot to us. And one of the things that I want to talk about, too, is some of the early conversations and efforts to recognize Ho-Chunk history in Minnesota. The Minnesota Historical Society back in 1993 worked on a Minnesota Communities exhibit. And I've been going through my files over the last week and refreshing my memory, you know, and they were looking at six communities from across Minnesota. It was part of a major exhibition at the Minnesota Historical Society in 1993. And they selected the Ho-Chunks, not the Ojibwe or Dakota, but they selected the Ho-Chunks. And Celeste Persini was the lead curator. And she said that, you know, they recognize that Ho-Chunks in Minnesota have been overlooked.
Yeah.
And they really wanted to talk about and present Ho-Chunk Nation history in the mid, you know, especially, of course, focusing on those years when we have the reservations in Minnesota in the mid 20th century, but also, of course, on Ho-Chunk resilience and survivance in the contemporary community today. So there were some really wonderful community leaders that worked on that who have since walked on, you know, Donald Blackhawk Sr., Betty Greencrow. So I had an opportunity to work with them, and that was really special. And the McKees, and they were wonderful too, you know.
That's
so
us.
That's our relatives. That's our family.
Right on.
So it was just beautiful working with all of them and really beginning this process of reclaiming Ho-Chunk history in Minnesota.
That's exciting. And Amy's a great guest.
Amy, we got to get you
We might have to go another segment with Amy here. One of the things, too, and I don't know if it's yellow Volkswagen syndrome, but since Kathy's been working on this, and then I've been kind of pushing some stuff legislative-wise in the background, the University of Minnesota has added Ho-Chunk to their land acknowledgement. Land acknowledgement is another thing, but that's something big. Mm-hmm. But also the Minnesota Historical Society. So I don't know if it's been the work or if I'm just noticing it now or being aware of it, but or if it's a combination.
Mm-hmm. That's why Kathy's book is so important, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is really challenging that history of Minnesota and the indigenous nations of Minnesota, kind of the master narrative of Minnesota history. So
That's really right. That is the entire purpose of this book, is to start justice work for Ho-Chunk people and recognition work for them in Minnesota.
Well, in one of the key words that I heard brought up, I think by you and then also in the book by Kathy, is erasure. And that's one of the things that I'll be driving home when I speak to people about a recognition of Ho-Chunk in Minnesota, is we don't want to be erased. And that's a colonized way. So, you know, also, too, one of the things that really in the book for me really hit home, and we mentioned a little bit with Kathy about this earlier, is that, Mankato has some, some things that they should be giving back, possibly.
Right.
I could just say that in code.
Right. Land back.
Oh, Kathy wants to say something.
They own millions and millions of public land of acres. So they definitely stole land from the Ho-Chunk people in 1863. So land back is relevant to Ho-Chunk people in Minnesota.
Yeah, that's a, well, we'll get a Chipotle down there and just have Haley do the radio show down there.
Yeah, we'll move our studio down there.
Get our big antenna on there.
Yeah.
And if I could add something quickly about when I was reviewing Kathy's book, one of the suggestions that I made, because we know that, you know, Ho-Chunk, we're indigenous to present-day Wisconsin. We originated near Green Bay. Mm-hmm. But the land, Blue Earth, I really wanted to see, and Kathy did this, but to really emphasize that this was originally Dakota land, right? And they had been forced to the treaty table and forced to cede this land.
Yeah.
And so when I'm thinking through that deep history and the commemoration of the U.S. Dakota War of 1862, I have found that the Dakota community, certainly when I participated in the Dakota Commemorative March in 2004 and 2006, they were incredibly interested in Ho-Chunk Nation mm-hmm. history. Oh. They would introduce me to other people in the room and say, this is, you know, Amy Lontree, she's Ho-Chunk and her people were removed too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I felt this incredible groundswell of support and interest that they were hungry to hear yeah. our story as yeah. well.
And that's removed so close to them, you know, as neighbors mm-hmm. and almost on the same land. It's And our mm-hmm. language is, you know, similar in that way, too, to the Dakotas.
Yeah, it's Siouan, but I think it's more Ho-Chunk, and they got the language from us. Is that right? No, I'm just kidding.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, one of the translations of our name is people of the parent speech. Mm-hmm. And that's the recognition that we were a nod to that we were the original Siouan speakers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, some people have made that claim. Yes.
Oh. Well, I wonder, should we call it a show, because we were going to go halfway the show, or if you have a few, I know there's a lot of people coming in here that you want to see too. So maybe we can end the show at the normal time that we were going to only do half a show here and tell everyone to come out here. But it's really exciting to have you on, Amy. And it's going to be an exciting night, and yeah. the place is getting full.
So, I could relay one more story
absolutely.
Really quickly, Robert, about Ho-Chunk presence in Minnesota. We can talk about an erasure, but there have been moments, as I was thinking this through over the last several weeks, where people I remembered acknowledged our deep connection. And mm-hmm. case in point is the University of Minnesota and the development of the American Indian Studies Department. I heard from a Dakota elder that they actually approached the Ho-Chunk Nation and asked them to if it would be all right, or if they would mm-hmm. like to offer Ho-Chunk language courses to undergraduates at the University of Minnesota. And as we know, Dakota and Ojibwe are taught at mm-hmm. the University of Minnesota and have historically been taught there. But I think that that's a really interesting story. We made a decision, you know, elders made a decision not to do that for mm-hmm. a host of reasons. But I think it's really important because that speaks to the acknowledgement of the Ho-Chunk having a deep and longstanding connection to Minnesota and other nations recognizing that at various moments in time.
Amy, it's so good to have you. I'm so happy that you made it here. It's going to be a great night. The place is packed. A lot of relatives and a lot of people you know are here. And it's going to be exciting, Kathy, huh? Oh, wait, unmute me, Kathy. Go ahead.
It's great to have Amy. She's a great speaker, and I can't wait to hear more.
Exactly.
Well, we're here to honor and recognize and celebrate that book, and I just can't wait for people to hear what you've, that history that you've uncovered and you've written about so powerfully.
Yeah. Well, hey, up next, we're going to hear John Greendeer, a best of, and come on down. There's still plenty of time. Show starts at 6. We're going to be eating here soon, but there's plenty of time. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're at All My Relations here in Minneapolis on 1414. Oh, my goodness. Audrey Thayer. I just got to say, and we'll be back, and we'll talk tomorrow. I just ADD'd out on Audrey Thayer, right?
Yes, we'll be up with John Greendeer here, and then we have a new animal segment from Wendy Pilot.
Yes.
And then tomorrow we'll be on with Little Moments Count and Bob Lake from Red Lake.
We love Sam Bob Lake from Red Lake. We'll see you tomorrow, and listen up. John's got some great info.
We are Alusa Nation.
The Mississippi to our left, Granddad on the right. We're right in the middle. Eagle 1490 WLCX, the talk of La Crosse.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The presidential campaign this weekend now focusing on Nevada. Vice President Harris campaigning there ahead of next month's voting, and former President Trump is also there. flying to the Silver State right after a jury ordered him to pay a massive $83 million penalty in a defamation case brought by writer E. Jean Carroll. Trump promises to appeal, but says ABC legal contributor Kim Wheely.
I think this is going to stick. The big question, as we saw with the Rudy Giuliani verdict, frankly, is whether Donald Trump is going to pay up easily or whether Ms. Carroll is going to have to initiate additional proceedings to get him to actually pay up on the verdict.
WWE founder Vince McMahon has resigned from sports entertainment company TKO Group effective immediately amid sexual misconduct allegations against him. McMahon has denied any wrongdoing. The city of Wichita, Kansas, is offering a $5,000 reward for information leading to the recovery of a bronze statue of baseball great Jackie Robinson that went missing this week. This is ABC News.
The Bucks lose at home to Cleveland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Cavaliers beat the Bucks 112-110 at Fiserv Forum. Bucks interim head coach Joe Prunty after the loss.
You know, you got to get a flow, and meaning set screens, hard cuts, get the ball moving side to side so that you can get downhill. If we can move them side to side, as opposed to there was quite a few times where we had long possessions or we got late into the shot clock, but it wasn't because the ball was moving side to side. It was because maybe we just ran one action and we didn't create a problem and we pounded it too much.
After the game, the Bucks officially announced that Doc Rivers has signed his deal as the team's new head coach. He'll hold a press conference. College basketball, the Badgers cruise to an 81-66 win over Michigan State. The Badgers' A.J. Storr on how he scored 28 points.
Really just playing off my bigs. They like to double the post a lot, so it leaves me open to either catch and shoot or make a quick drive to the basket, really.
That's Wisconsin's A.J. Storr. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Some fog today, otherwise clouds and 38. Mostly cloudy tonight, lows around 30. Upper 30s for Sunday under partly sunny skies, and we'll be near 40 degrees on your Monday with lots of sunshine. For Tuesday, clouds and a high near 38 degrees.
Currently 33 degrees.
Valentine's Day is here. This year, give the ultimate gift. Name a star after your sweetheart. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For 45 years, we've named millions of stars for celebrities, dignitaries, and individuals worldwide. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can give the most memorable gift. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
Jackson Hewitt has a plan to get your tax refund fast. With a buck here, buck there. Here buck, there buck, everywhere buck.
You don't have to wait weeks for your tax refund. Get money sooner with a no-fee refund advance loan at Jackson Hewitt.
On this loan, there's a money today guarantee. E-I-E-I-D-O.
Don't settle for chicken feed. Get fast bucks at Jackson Hewitt today. No-fee refund advance loans by Republic Bank offered to eligible clients. Money today guarantee if approved for a loan on a prepaid card. Details at jacksonhewitt.com.
There are 1,000 ways to say it.
Nope. Knock it off. Shut it down. Dream on. No dice. Give it a rest. Not a chance.
Or just
all text. You focus on the road.
As a passenger, you have the power to prevent an accident. There are 1,000 ways to stop a distracted driver. Choose one.
A message from CTIA.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder, metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Eagle 1490. What lacrosse and Western Wisconsin is talking about. You're soaring with the Eagle. Eagle 1490 WLCX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey,
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Producer Haley with you now. I just want to say a big thank you, Pinagigi Miigwech Wolpi Latanka, to everyone who is tuning in to today's special broadcast regarding the published recognition of us Ho-Chunk people in the state of Minnesota. And a big thank you again to our sponsor, NACDI, Native American Community Development Institute, and All My Relations Arts, as well as the Minnesota Historical Society and Kathy Coates for sharing our history and opening up a space for our story here today. But there is still time to come over to All My Relations Art Gallery here at 1414 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. We'll be here until 7. Right now, though, in this segment, we want to stick with a Ho-Chunk citizen, someone who is very important to Ho-Chunk Nation. His name is John Greendeer, and this is actually an encore segment, and John talks a bit about our Ho-Chunk history as well. So here it is.
Jigay, hana, chini, kutagi, we know. My name is John Greendeer. I am once again excited to send each of you a warm greeting. Also excited to be on the radio. This is kind of cool. So a lot of people don't know this. I'm actually a licensed ham radio operator. Yep, let that sink in. KD9ETK is my call. But it has nothing to do with me being on the radio. So it's actually quite useless information. So I thought it was kind of cool, but it'll get more relevant from here, I promise. Today we get to talk about something a little bit more in my wheelhouse. I am the executive director of heritage preservation for the Ho-Chunk Nation, which is a pretty expansive title, but if you look at what it covers, that's even more broad. I always ask folks, you know, what do you think of when you hear heritage preservation? And, you know, some folks, the response is, you know, powwows, drums, songs, music, feathers, regalia, you know, dances. Others, you know, might be more on the naturalist side of the spectrum and say, well, all the things that predate, you know, pre-colonial contact, you know, and our rivers, our land, our mountains, our, you know, forests, vegetation, animals, all these things that, you know, those are the things we need to preserve. You know, others, you know, look at it from a more scholarly point of view in terms of the historical context or political, you know, and it's about sovereignty. It's about your legal disposition as a nation. It's what you can do to self-govern. So what is it? It's all of those and more. And even nowadays, preservation really is synonymous with everything that falls under quote culture. So we have a lot of things that that we do oversee. Now, as a preservationist, those are very distinct, culture being something that you can't really kill or anything like that. It's a part of your daily life, how you brush your teeth, when you go to school, who gets the TV first, all that stuff is a part of your culture. Your home has one, your work has one, your school, your church. But more importantly, you know, we look at preserving our heritage. And these are things that probably weren't intended to change, like, you know, your songs, your stories, you know, your fundamental beliefs, principles, family, clan colors, those types of things. And so those are kind of more in the area. And while it does seem like they do overlap, because they do, we do try to be more distinctive to focus on some of those elements that might be in danger of being lost. So when I started as the executive director for heritage preservation, I thought like I was going to be like zapped down, you know, with a bag over my head, and I'm going to go down 7 flights into this, you know, dark, eerie area where we had this big, giant, massive storage unit of all of our songs and stories and everything that defined us historically. And, you know, it was not a scene out of the X-Files by any means. We don't have all that stuff. Yes, there are recordings. Yes, there are photographs. Yes, there are, but there certainly isn't a place where you can just walk into it and, you know, plug in your USB and just fill your whole world up with history and knowledge. We are remnants of an oral tradition of a vastly, you know, substantive oral tradition of songs and stories and things that identify you as a family. And, you know, I'd mentioned before in a previous show that, you know, a lot of these things were severed, not, you know, just simply by boarding schools, but, you know, a lot of, you know, forces in westernization that have really changed our daily culture. You know, today we can't say we are, you know, living the life of those of us and our people in the past. You know, we're too busy working two jobs just to be broke and, you know, getting our kids off to school so we can be conveniently late for work and probably unwrapping more meals than we should be, you know. So there are, there's just, you know, certain things, that lifestyles that we have now that, you know, probably don't synchronize with, you know, the people that we came from who really built their life or their way of life, which Ho-Chunks will call Woshka, around simplicity, you know, food, water, shelter, things that we kind of take for granted nowadays. But if we were ever forced to go back to that, there's probably a good chance we'd have a bit of a struggle. Yes, we could eat deer if you can get one, or catch fish if you can catch one, or make nets or make hooks. You know, we didn't have necessarily the obligation to learn survival skills. You know, that's what they would be for us today, but to them it was just simply living. So I don't know how long it would take us to learn today, but, you know, back then that way of life wasn't something you learned in a weekday or, you know, years, or even a lifetime. It took many lifetimes. You know, we go back, you know, thousands and thousands of years, and, you know, our oral tradition has us, you know, placed back into the red banks of the Green Bay, but, you know, we don't really know when that was. You know, we can certainly, you know, use science to determine, you know, when, you know, the human existence took place into this area, but we can't really verify, you know, lean too heavily on archaeology or belief system. We just have to accept the fact that we don't know. And if we were meant to know, we would. But I can say that, you know, when we start going back to, you know, our history, and, you know, I hate to surprise everyone, but history doesn't start when a white guy sets foot on a piece of earth. You know, a lot of times we do that when we say, we're going to talk about history. Well, it's going to be George Washington or Ben Franklin or Christopher Columbus. And, you know, no, history starts, you know, way before that, you know, before we can even think of. And so, you know, we discipline ourselves to make sure that, you know, we don't think in that Western manner. This is how and who we are. So to give you a scale of that, you know, one of the exercises that, you know, we'll provide in making sure people understand the heritage of and where we are, we pull this 50-foot rope out and have the children kind of hold that as far out as they can. And that rope, in this context, only represents 14,000 years, you know, where we're dated back to, at least, you know, on the science end of things. But we introduce, you know, things like, you know, the projectile points and some of the stone tools all the way, you know, these are the historic areas where they, you know, prehistoric areas where they didn't have, you know, recording devices or written languages, those types of things. And people will actually get a chance to see the scale of this because, you know, every foot of that rope represents about approximately 280 years, which means that, you know, if you went 2 feet, you've already passed the arrival of Columbus to the Americas, you know. And so you have to think back from those 48 feet. Oh my God, there was a lot of time between then and now. We are not the first, we're not fresh off the boat here. We've been here for such a long time. And the reason why we have made it to this day is because of those elements of our heritage. So making sure that those things are passed down to our folks is probably our biggest mission, to make sure that there's a connection there. And there is. And that's the amazing thing about it is, you know, these things that, you know, we credit our ancestors to, we have those things. We never lost them. We may not have to engage those, but there are certain things that, you know, we do in heritage preservation and cultural resources and language that really show that that connection is there and it's as strong as it's ever been before. So whenever we learn how to say our name and our language and use it, whenever we learn how to craft an item that has some utility and we see people using it, it's there. So, you know, I don't, you know, it doesn't take long for people to realize I get really amped up on things like this. But, you know, this connection that we have, you know, they can't take that away from us. That's who we are. We are these people that, you know, that they try to separate us from. So, you know, heritage preservation is really about making sure that we have a strong connection and a strong identity with who we are, because that really is what determines our success in the modern Western world. And it's what determined our success in the prehistoric times as well. So heritage preservation does include a lot. And, you know, I'm always discouraged because, you know, I don't know the things that people come to ask me, or, you know, the people I work with, they say the same thing. We don't know everything. We'd like to be able to help. But, you know, one of the things that they talk about, you know, in our way of life, and I hope I don't butcher this too much, but, you know, when they say that ho chunga to woshka ke ineki, ya oncha, ki kata chegi, hi ain chak shinawi, you know, we're not doing this alone. That's, you know, we don't have this all by ourselves. It's with our group, our family, our clan, that we can all do this. And, you know, this is knowledge that, you know, I think is really important, that no one person knows all of this, but we all know a little bit. And when we come together, that's how we come to know everything. You know, we can't do it all ourselves, but if everyone does a little bit, then it can get done. And so, you know, these are things that really, you know, lean on heavily, and making sure that the circle, the group is wider, and there's more people in there rather than just a small number of people that are, you know, carrying that burden and trying to carry this on, because that's never going to work. So so it really is about being together. It's really about working together, sharing together. And, you know, the best way to do it is to look at our brothers and sisters as, you know, what they are. They're our family. And so together, that's what defines who we are, and that's going to define what the success of heritage preservation is. So again, I want to thank everyone for allowing me to share just, you know, a 10,000 foot view of what heritage preservation is, and let you know that no matter what we're asked, we may not have an answer, but the minute, you know, we're done talking, we're thinking of how to find that answer for each of you. So again, Hanachekji, Hinagigiwi, Wainampwi, Wahaje. Thank you.
We got to take a quick break, but stay with us. You're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, Kaitagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pini Gigi, and thank you for your support.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Earl Ingram.
Sandy, people are talking about influencers. I don't see too many septuagenarians or octogenarian influencers. They're alive.
We're trying. Radio shows like this are our efforts to be influencers, I suppose. Yeah. I mean,
we can possibly be influencers.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Calvin's laughing.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local civic media radio station. You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wajile,
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Howl! That was my lone howl today. Anyways, I want to quickly introduce Wendy Pilot. Wendy is a humane policy advocate leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and she is updating us all the way from New York today. So thank you so much, Wendy. Please take it away.
Thank you, Haley. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. You know, I was thinking about what I wanted to talk about today, and I want to do a little free advertisement for an item that I bought that I think is just awesome for your pet. So Robert and I decided that we were going to drive to New York. I think it's around 1,900 miles. So we were going to drive for a long time. I think the whole trip took us about 20 hours. But we were traveling with our little dog, Wanda, and everybody has heard about Wanda. She is a little black Shih Tzu. She's a rescue. We rescued her about 7 years ago, and she's our heart. Like, we both love this little dog so much. And the thought of bringing her on the road with us was so exciting, but also really worrisome because we were going to stop at a lot of places, rest stops. We were going to stay in a hotel overnight one night. We were going to walk her on streets and places that she's not familiar with. And the thought of me and Robert losing her was just something I could not even imagine. Many years ago, Robert and I lost our dog, Mickey. Robert and I were out of town, and we had a pet sitter staying at our house, and Mickey got out, and I think there was a storm. We don't know the whole story. We never really found out the truth, but somehow Mickey got out, and he was gone. That was really, I'd have to say, maybe one of the top three most horrible times in my life was losing Mickey and not knowing where he was. And back then, we didn't really have the tools that we do today. So Robert got on his computer right away, made up little posters and pictures of Mickey, and Robert and I went around our neighborhood and put these posters out on every lamppost that we could find in the neighborhood. And sure enough, I think it was, I don't know how many hours later, 30 hours, I'm just going to guess from my memory, we got a call from a little boy who said, "I think I have your dog in our backyard." And you know, we went and we got Mickey. Now, today, there's so many more options, right? There's microchips, there's tracking devices. Just having a collar with your dog's name on it is really important. And I'm telling you, we have all three. So Wanda is microchipped. So anybody out there who's moved, changed their phone number, just update that information, because that information is really important to be updated at all times. And I think having your dog microchipped is a great tool, but it's not the only tool out there. And I think it needs to really be combined with other things. Your dog would have to be found, would have to be picked up, and have to be brought to the vet to be scanned to find that information. And while it's really good, other items as well works great. So Wanda also has a little tag around her neck, shaped as a bone, has her name on it, and Robert and I, our phone numbers. So that's great. But these tags, they fall off. If your dog is running through bushes, running through a fence, it could get snagged and taken off the collar. So what I purchased before we left from leaving St. Paul, Minnesota to coming from Long Island, New York was a Roam tag. Roam, R-O-A-M tag. It is an Apple product, and this is a tracking device, and you put it on your phone, and you could track the animal on your phone. So the one we got attaches to her collar. So the collar kind of goes in and out, and it's on the collar. And then I have all the information in my phone, and no matter where I am, I can go on my phone and just go to the app, Find My. So, you know, find your whatever. And we have Wanda set up with all of our information. And somebody could just, it's a QR code. That's exactly what it is, a barcode. So whoever has a phone can just click on, scan the code, and it will give you her name, our phone numbers, where you could contact us. So I think that's a really good tool to have. And then I could go on and see where she is. Like, oh, okay. And find the address where she is. I could find her exact location, and it will show me as she is walking wherever she's going. So I think this is a really good tool. So between these three things that she has, the Roam tag, which is great. It's like less than $50. You just upload it on your phone. It's simple. It's really easy to use. And you could see where your animal is anytime. And then we have the little, name tag. Name tag, microchipped, and this. Three things that she has on her because we did not want to lose her. So Wanda is safe and sound. She made it through the trip without getting lost, which we're really happy about. She really was good on the trip too. She's a really good traveler. She stayed in the crate in the back. I have it set up so it's high enough so she gets to look outside. I have it all bungee corded up so it's really stable and secure. So if God forbid we got into an accident, the crate is, you know, sturdy. It's not going to fly around the car. So she's safe in there. There's lots of blankets and stuff in there. So I think she is acclimating to New York. She is barking a lot at people who come in and out of the condo building because she's used to having, living in a house. So it's nice and quiet. And the good thing is when we're home in Minnesota in St. Paul, we have a nice little backyard. It's a small yard, but it's great for her. It's all fenced in, and we could just let her out, right? If it's snowing, raining, whatever, we just let her out. She goes potty, comes right back in the house, especially in these cold temperatures. But now in New York, we don't have a little backyard that's fenced in. So rain, sleet, snow, darkness, whatever, we have to get that leash on her and go for a walk. The good thing is, hey, it gets me out of the house, right? It gets me walking. And there's been some cold, rainy days here where I would have just stayed in the condo and not have gone out at all. But this gets me to go out. So with that, keep your pet safe out there and take it easy. Back to you, Robert and Haley.
Hey, Wendy, thanks again, and stay warm out there in New York. If you have been listening to Native Roots Radio, you are part of our resistance. We'll be back tomorrow with Little Moments Count and Bob Blake from Red Lake. Let's walk well, take care of the earth, and free Leonard Peltier. Now.
Providing you with an eagle eye view of what lacrosse is talking about. You're soaring.
with Eagle 1490. Tell a friend.
Hey, everybody. This is Aaron from the Todd Allbaugh Show. Todd will be back from his trip around the state on Monday, and we'll round up the weekend in news. Join us from noon to 2.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10 on Eagle 1490 WLCX.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app. AB